excited.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Fun. We were just, does she like to swim? Does she like to swim? I've never met a lab who doesn't, do you know?
I think she loved it. I'm sure she probably does. Yes, sir.
We're ready?
We're ready. We are ready.
Like a drum roll or something?
Oh, here you are.
Okay, we'll come back to order. We're back on the record, and the time is about 2:40 p.m. Central Time. And before we move to the next witness, counsel approached me, and there is a matter of an agreement to admit an exhibit. And Ms. Valley, would you identify that exhibit, please?
Thank you, Your Honor. This is a response to an information request that includes the jurisdictional cost of service. It's NDPSC 1-04, the IR. And what it includes is the cost of service study that has the beginning, ending, and average plant balances for 2012 that was provided in this case. And it is marked as NSP 37, and it's a supplement to an initial request that was provided.
Okay, and by stipulation, then NSP Exhibit 37 is admitted. All right. I need a copy. Thank you. Yes, thank you. And you don't need to recall witness to have any testimony about that, Ms. Valley?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I missed your question. I was reviewing.
And you don't need to recall any witness for any testimony about this exhibit?
No, Your Honor, the parties agree to its admission.
Thank you. All right. Then if we're ready to proceed to the advocacy staff witness, Sarah Cardwell, I'll turn it over to you, Mr. Norrell.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would move that the witness be placed under oath, and then we can do some introductory matters.
Opening statement, all right. Ms. Cardwell, you've been present and heard me instruct as to penalties for perjury. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under the pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. And maybe just move that mic a little closer to you if you can. Thank you. All right, Mr. Norrell, and you've passed out the opening statement, which you've labeled PSC 21.
That is correct, Your Honor.
All right, and by agreement or stipulation that this is entered into the record as PSC Exhibit 21. Okay. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. Cardwell will be testifying to PSC Exhibit 7. And Ms. Cardwell, do you have any corrections that you'd like to make or anything for Exhibit 7?
No.
Okay. Thank you. You may proceed with your statement.
I am a public utility analyst with the North Dakota Public Service Commission and am appearing on behalf of advocacy staff. The purpose of my testimony is to express concerns on the part of the advocacy staff as to NSP's spending that has caused the company to ask for an increase from customers for 2008, 2011, 2012, and now a 2013 test period. In the company's rebuttal, Vice President McCartan states that the company is considering the ratepayer and points to their offer to spread the 2008 market losses in their pension plan over multiple years. Yet this is a small component of the rate case, and we don't know how postponing this small amount may affect a future increase. She also points to two projects, the Black Dog Repowering and the Prairie Island Uprate, that the company canceled as cost reduction programs. However, the primary reason that the company canceled these projects was because the load growth that necessitated them did not materialize. And when questioned by Commissioner Fedorchuk, Ms. McCartan indicated that the company will have at least two more years of significant spending as they complete their nuclear projects and the CapEx 2020 projects. In summary, the company has not alleviated our concerns regarding cost control.
Thank you, Ms. Cardwell. This witness is available for cross-examination.
Thank you, Mr. Norell. Ms. Valley?
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Ms. Cardwell. Starting on page 3, line 14 of your testimony, you question whether some of the acquisitions that the company is making are wise at this time. Do you agree that the wind resources you identify are not part of this docket and that the prudency of those investments for North Dakota customers will be addressed in a separate ADP proceeding?
I agree with that. However, the commission should be made aware of other spending that the company is planning going forward.
And thank you, Ms. Cardwell. And do you agree that those ADP applications have been filed in advance of the in-service dates of those projects?
Yes, they have.
Thank you. On page 4, line 21, you indicate that ratepayers have saved $1.3 million from not paying for Prairie Rose costs during 2013. How do you calculate that savings?
I calculate that savings by looking at the monthly fuel cost rider adjustment filings that the company makes.
And do you agree that the actual adjustment will in the fuel cost reflects an average cost of energy from North Dakota customers? So we're not actually backing out all of the Prairie Wind costs related to those all of the costs related to those kilowatt hours.
I believe that Mr. Wishart, in his testimony, said the savings to customers as the company calculates them are closer to $300,000. But I don't have any calculations to back that up other than the system average cost that is being used for the purposes of the fuel cost rider at this current time.
Now, you had also questioned the company's proposal to site a gas plant in Hankinson and whether it's needed. Are the costs of those plants in this proceeding?
No, they are not. Again, my purpose is to ensure that the commissioners and the rest of the commission has adequate knowledge of what the company's plans are going forward.
And do you agree that the company files an ADP for those plants?
Yes, the company did.
In a rate case, does the commission review costs and expenses in a test year and evaluate whether those are appropriate for recovery in a rate case?
Yes, the commission does. But as Commissioner Fedorchak mentioned earlier, and she asked the company's witness, Vice President McCartan, about what do you tell customers? And Vice President McCartan said, yeah, there are more expenditures coming down the trail. So again, the purpose of my testimony was to ensure that the commission has full knowledge that the company is still continuing to spend tremendous amounts of money in the next couple of years as a minimum.
Thank you. Now, do you agree that the company has an obligation to provide electric service in its service territory?
Yes, the company has an obligation to provide service. And in fact, we pointed out in some of our information that we provided that there are concerns that at least advocacy staff has in terms of the reliability of the service that the company is currently providing to customers in North Dakota.
And do you agree that the company has made significant investments in its distribution network in compliance with the commission's order in the last case, and that has demonstrated significant improvements to its reliability?
I don't have knowledge of the significance of this.
Do you agree that the company that has an obligation to serve has also an obligation to invest or make the system investments necessary to ensure that it meets its obligation?
Yes, but I also know that there is an excess in over and above reserve margins in the MISO region right now.
Thank you, Ms. Cardwell. I don't have any further questions at this time.
Thank you. Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
The last statement that you just made about the excess and reserve margins, can you expand on that a little bit? You know that how and its relationship to your testimony.
Oh, well, I believe that what the company attorney was referring to is that the company's perspective is that these investments that they're going to be making that are part of these ADPs coming up are needed to provide reliable services to their customers. And I was merely pointing out that MISO's reserve margins are currently showing excess capacity. And I guess I'd have to pull those documents up from the MISO website.
So you're implying that use the excess capacity in MISO, purchase the power rather than investing to produce it or investing in purchasing it from a specific contract? Is that what you're saying? Go to the market?
No, we will address the ADPs within those particular proceedings. It was just merely a comment that there are excess reserves in the MISO market currently. So I don't think that currently reliability from a production perspective is a problem for customers.
Okay, I understand. Anything else? That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle. We'll go to the commission at this time. Commissioner Fedorchik.
Thank you, Judge. Ms. Cardwell, can you tell me a little bit about, in your testimony, you talked about needing to reassess the need for the Minnesota competitive resource docket. What is that, and how does it relate to this case?
Well, in Minnesota, they have a competitive resource process docket open right now. And the three units that they applied for an ADP for are within that docket. And so there are two processes going on currently, our ADP as well as the Minnesota process. But between the fact that they have filed for this 600 megawatts of additional simple cycle CTs as well as 750 megawatts of wind, even within the state of Minnesota, there are parties questioning whether all this is necessary at this time.
But we don't have any role to play in that docket in terms of telling them that they shouldn't be doing it. Are you suggesting that we do that? Or
no, we are monitoring that docket, and we have filed as interveners, but we will be not suggesting necessarily that they do not have a need for those facilities within that docket.
Okay. So in one of the recommendations under recommendations for the commission's consideration, reassess the need for the Minnesota competitive resource docket based on wind acquisitions just announced. Clarify what you mean by that.
Okay. It seems like the Minnesota, because that's their largest jurisdiction, seems to take precedence over any other jurisdiction in which they serve. So they are going to be filing another resource plan in February of 2014. And then they also have all these other pending dockets. And so maybe what they should do is wait until that next resource plan before they make decisions on all of this additional need for power.
Okay. And we'll take that into consideration. We'll continue that discussion in our
ADPs.
ADP
yes.
Process. Okay. You have in your testimony also the chart of rate increases. It's on page 2 of your testimony. And you list them all here going back to 1980. I'm particularly interested in the 2 in 2010 and then 2012 is pending. Why is that listed as pending, the authorized increase?
That's the current case that we're...
Oh, that's this case.
Yes.
Okay, so I see. So if you go back to 07 until now, have you done the math as to what is the cumulative rate increases that customers have weathered, NSP customers? Can we just add those all together? Is that, would that be effective math?
Well,
can you do that?
You're not supposed to add percentages mathematically, but you could probably kind of, you know, for squishiness, kind of say it's like a 15-16% increase since. And you have to remember that 2007 filing was for a 2008 test period, so those rates didn't go into effect until either late 2008 or the first part of 2009.
Okay. So this would be for about the past 6 years, and then whatever sort of a decision we make would be added on top of that.
That's correct.
Okay. Let's see here. Is this, has advocacy staff done any research back into past periods of build out? From what I understand and have learned about this industry, it goes through phases of build out. And is this level of increase consistent with past phases where the companies have had to invest a whole bunch to update their system, and then there's a period where the rates stabilize? Is this consistent with that? Is that what we're experiencing, or are you concerned that this is just runaway spending by NSP?
No, it could very likely have something to do with the spending cycle, but, you know, what I'm trying to say, have they looked at all things that they could do within the company to ensure that the spending cycle and the increases to customers are the best they can do at this point in time?
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you. That's all my questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Sarah, for your testimony and quite honestly for your work with the advocacy staff, because I know that we've got a lot of good people that came out to provide their work. But between you and Mike, I think you've pulled probably the lion's share of coordinating all this over the last year or so. So thank you. This has been you guys have presented a pretty good case, and as has the company too. But thank you for that. Just a couple questions, I guess, that, you know, you've done a good job of pointing out the potential wind resources that are coming in front of this commission via ADP. And this commission rejected an ADP from the company because it wasn't timely. They'd already bought the wind farm, and then they came to us after the fact. So I share your frustration with the company just acquiring wind just for the sake of acquiring wind to meet Minnesota's mandate. I think, in my opinion, that's very clear. So, but the question is, what do we do? We're faced with a set of facts that says they're putting money into nuclear plants so they get some return. They're building new transmission so they get some return. But what are you recommending that this commission really do during this rate case to curb this, what you'd call, excessive spending? Other than making these verbal comments, in which they hear, but what do you recommend? We disallow certain? I mean, what are you trying to get to that you would like to see this commission do for discipline in their spending?
That is a very good question. I don't know that we have a complete set of facts to make that kind of determination. But what we can do is there are certain things that we can not include, for sure. I mean, economic development costs, charitable contributions, incentive compensation. And then, two, some of the things that we talked about in terms of the wind projects and the biomass projects, where the company has paid above market rates for those projects, what we can do is within that fuel cost adjustment review filing that we'll be doing is look at those intently and determine the extent to which those particular projects were done merely to meet Minnesota requirements, and as a result, you know, potentially look at ways that we can cut costs there. But, you know, I don't have all the answers as to how the company could cut costs. I think one of the things was just trying to make an awareness to the company as to think about it.
Because the rate cases that you've talked about and Commissioner Fedorchak brought out, I mean, I've lived all those rate cases since 2007. You had a comment, the last thing in your page 7 of your testimony, consider capping future rate increases so that NSP has an incentive to not spend. So how would you envision that recommendation playing out?
Well, you know, there's different ways that you can do this sort of thing. I think Charlie King might have talked about something, too, where you have a rate of return cap type thing where you say if you earn more than this, you know, there's a sharing, and below this you can ask for a certain percentage of a rate change. So there are various mechanisms out there in use that put so-called caps or incentives, so to speak.
So I understand that discussion because I thought that was good with Mr. King. But do you know if it's legal? And this is a question I can ask our attorney. But as a result of this order, we say this is what now the company you get, don't come see us again for 36 months. Is that something that commission can legally put in an order, or would that be only a settlement agreement kind of thing?
Well, I'm not sure, but I know in South Dakota, in their most recent rate case, they got an infrastructure rider. And as part of that infrastructure rider, the company is not supposed to come back for an increase prior to 2015. And I believe in the 2007 settlement of the 2007 case, the company was also told that they could not come back such that any interim rate increase would be in effect prior to the beginning of 2011.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Christman.
I think all my questions have been asked, Judge.
All right. We'll go back to Mr. Norrell.
Thank you, Your Honor. No questions.
Ms. Valley, any further questions?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
No, thank you.
Well, we're back to Commissioner Fedorchik.
No, thanks.
No follow-up? All right, then. You're excused, Ms. Cardwell. Mr. Norrell, does that comprise the staff advocacy case?
Yes, Your Honor, it does.
Before I ask whether the company has any rebuttal witnesses, I'm going to ask at this time. I think it's apparent, the answer, but I, for the record, I'm going to ask whether there is anyone else who wishes to provide any testimony today? Any members of the public? All right, seeing none, then I'm going to go back to NSP and ask Ms. Valley and or Mr. Johnson whether the company wishes to recall any witnesses.
No, Your Honor, we don't intend to recall any witnesses, but we have one other exhibit.
Your Honor, we do now have a available late-filed Exhibit F, and perhaps this would be a good time to make that available to people.
That would be fine. Thank you. I will mark that then. I mean, it's already been admitted, but I will mark that as having been received. And we are going to handle exhibits, counsel. I'm going to ask the attorneys to stay. We don't need to take up commission time for that, but we'll sort through and make sure we're on the same page as far as all the exhibits and what needs to be admitted. So we have Exhibit F, all right? And I believe Ms. Valley, that the company was also going to handle the corrections and replacements or whatever for the exhibits in an exhibit at the end. Is that correct? Rather than try to go through each exhibit for the record, not the commissioner's copies now. I'm talking about the official exhibits for the record, and rather than go through and redline and handle that, was it your intent to submit all of the corrections in an additional exhibit?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, and I have to get back to my numbering here. That would be NSP Exhibit 38. And what about you, Mr. Norell? There were a few corrections.
Your Honor, advocacy staff would propose the same arrangement, and I believe I had spoken about this with Ms. Valley and Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco as well. But we would propose that as a late-filed exhibit.
Okay, and that is... okay, that would be PSC Exhibit 22 then.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that's the corrections, okay? And both PSC Exhibit 22 and NSP Exhibit 38 are admitted. All right, counsel, anything else before we proceed to the agreed-upon time for closing statements? Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
I do have one request, and we talked about this at the break also, and I think maybe it should have an exhibit number. But we talked about staff had requested of the parties, and it could be jointly filed, a spreadsheet that basically showed the main issues, the company's numbers, the staff's numbers, the difference, so that it was a simple I say a spreadsheet, but I mean a simple spreadsheet.
You mean like a comparison?
With the numbers, the rate, you know, the revenue requirement number changes. So I think the parties probably can file that together, because I'm going to guess that they're going to agree on those numbers. If not, they can each file one separately, but we can give it an exhibit number or two, if that's okay. Thanks.
So that'll be a joint filed exhibit?
Your Honor, we can certainly work to put that together jointly.
Then, as a late filed exhibit, I'm going to label that exhibit N, as in Nancy. Okay? And that will be admitted as well. And that, what are you going to call that?
I'd say this revenue requirement impact of the positions, the two parties' positions, or something like that. You got a better name over there?
Sure. Sometimes, we have put things similar things together, and we just call them the issues list.
Okay.
It's sort of just a summary of what the issues are and the parties' positions, if that would be acceptable.
Issues list. I like it.
That's fine. As long as the dollars are in there, not just the issues. I can do that one myself. Thanks.
Well, I think revenue probably is one of the issues. All right. Anything else, counsel, before we proceed to closing statements?
Your Honor.
Mr. Norell.
I do have one thing that was requested by Commissioner Fedorchuk, and that was a capital structure comparison between advocacy staff's witness and the company's witness. Mr. King did prepare that. However, he fell ill and is back at the hotel. I have presented this to a couple of members of the companies of the company. What staff is proposing at this point is to have that admitted as a late filed exhibit, so that way the company could do their due process and double check to make sure that these are correct before this comes on the record, without an opportunity to examine the preparer.
Okay. So are you asking that I not rule on that until there's been an opportunity to review?
Yes, Your Honor.
So?
Your Honor, I wonder if we could, following the protocol we've just talked about, to fit within the late, admitted during the hearing part, we'll either agree to it or we'll provide whatever variant on it we think is appropriate. I mean, it'll be kind of like the issues list. We can either get it right, or we'll each tell you what we think, and with all good luck, it'll be the same.
Okay. Thank you. Then with that caveat, it is admitted. And what are you calling that?
The title that Mr. King put on this is the response to Commissioner Fedorchuk's question regarding capital structure.
Okay. Okay, capital structure. I'm going to back up, and I'm going to label that Exhibit N as in Nancy, and the issues list Exhibit O. I see some closure in having the issues list be last. Okay. Anything else, counsel?
No, Your Honor.
Do you need a few minutes to get your thoughts together, or do you have them together?
Thank you, Your Honor. I have them together and can proceed.
Your Honor, can I interject a quick question?
Yes, Commissioner Call.
Different times, different protocol for the commissioners to give their 2 minutes of closing thoughts. That's something that you don't have to let us do, but it'd be nice.
You want to do that before their closing
statements? That's what I would ask the attorneys, because it doesn't matter to me. I just don't want them to give their thoughts and me to pontificate. So they might want to say their thoughts after they've heard our thoughts. I don't know. That's really okay. Up to counsel. But
okay.
For me personally, I'd like about 2 minutes just to give my thoughts, and then trust
I
me.
I had intended to do that at the end, but we can proceed with that now.
I just wanted to make sure we were thinking that. Whatever the companies want and the advocacy staff.
Advocacy staff's fine with that at the end.
Okay.
And thank you, Commissioner Kulk and Judge Fetch. We'll defer to your preference.
I think you should go then.
Your Honor?
Yes.
Before we start these closing comments, could I have just a few seconds to consult with Ms. Jeff Kotsako?
Sure. But let me get this straight. We're going to go with the commission's closing statements before we go to the attorneys, right?
After.
Okay. All right. We'll take just a couple minutes.
Just wanted to give you the chance in case I say something really crazy. You could fix it, but you waived that, right?
That's not on the record.
I think it might. No.
You might be keeping a better list. They're supposed to be late filing.